Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
I am delighted to be bringing you a word this morning. And what I want to say to you this morning is this. You're going to learn something today. I'm going to go just a little bit deeper around some things in the word that we're going to read this morning. Take some really well-known verses and just start to unpack those just a little bit more for you. So do you know what? Even if you get a pen, because if you're on Facebook this morning or on YouTube, what I would say is it's really easy to get distracted, but don't keep yourself focused. And if you haven't liked or shared this yet this morning, share this out, because I'm going to be bringing you a message this morning, which is just grace upon grace upon grace upon grace for your life. And so I know that you're going to be encouraged. Now, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, and the question that we've been asking over these last number of weeks is, where are you going to draw your strength from in these days? And that's what we have been talking about in this series on Ephesians, because just let me put it back into context for you. Paul takes this letter and puts it into three big sections so that we can really grasp the truth of what he is talking about. And the three big sections are this, and we're finishing off sit today. So he says, first of all, we've got to learn to sit, and then we've got to learn to walk, and then we've got to learn how to stand. Now, before we can walk out the fullness of God's grace in our lives, we first have a need for a revelation and a transformation in our thinking about who we really are. That is one of the biggest battlegrounds for anyone who's listening this morning. In fact, anyone in these days that we live in. It's this whole notion of identity. Who does Jesus say that you are? And so this morning we want to let the word speak right into that, right into where we are today, because honestly, there is such a battle, I believe. And why are we preaching this word at this time? Because I believe it's a now word from God. I believe it's a word that if you receive it, you're going to receive grace in your life, and you're going to walk more free after receiving this word than you were walking before you got it. Now, because the battle that's going on today is for the souls of people. And I said it at the very start of this series, even more so for our young people and for kids. And it all centers around identity. Now, what does that mean? Well, identity is who or what a person or a thing is. Your identity is how you define who you are. It's also how others define you. And that is why at the very beginning of this book in Ephesians, in Ephesians 1:2, Paul says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So he starts by saying, guys, we're going to start with grace. And in fact, the whole way through this book, he's going to unpack grace. He's going to explain grace. And he's going to show us how to sit in that place where grace, the unmerited favor of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus, defines who we really are. And then he says, once that transformation is happening in you, it's not like a one-time act, right? That's why you got to keep hearing week after week, in fact, day after day, about what God says about you and what Jesus says about you. Because it's not like, yeah, I heard that once and now I get to walk it out. It's like we're continually being transformed and going from grace to grace in our lives. And so, but our starting place is always God, is always Jesus and his finished work. And so he starts by going grace and completeness to you. So to sit in that place means to relax and to rest. It's not about struggle. It's not about strain. It's not about effort, and it's not about performance. It's not about our work. Our salvation, how we are walking out in goodness, is by grace through faith. Penny was talking about that one a couple of weeks ago. Your walk, you see, cannot come before your understanding of who you are. So once we understand more and live in the reality of what Jesus' work says about us, and we rest in that, then what happens is we are able to walk that into every bit of our lives. And I said, I think in week one, whenever Paul was encouraging the church, that's how things changed around them. The things didn't change around them because we were doing all sorts of stuff. It was because there were men and women and kids who were transformed genuinely from their innermost place. And as they were transformed themselves, then the natural overflow is that the people around them and the society around them and everything else was changed as well. And so we also then went on to say, didn't we, about, you know, we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, having been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now you kind of go, what the heck does that mean in real life? Well, our works, so how we walk out what Jesus has done in us, doesn't come before faith. And faith and trust is, we might be in this world going through everything that we're going through, but actually our position, and I said about this in week two, our position is we are seated with Christ. We are seated in the heavenly realms. So what that means is every blessing that is Jesus's today is ours. Our true home is not this earth. Okay, our true home is heaven, and that's what we believe for. And the goodness of heaven, remember, hey, that open window to see through and see what actually the fullness of Jesus' work is like, is for us now. And we get to walk in that from a place of understanding what Jesus has done in us. Now, our walk in our Christian life is very practical. Sitting speaks of our position, our rest, okay? We're not trying to get to God, actually, but God has come to us in Jesus, and he's raised us up with him even when we were dead in all of our mess. So understand, and these few weeks have been understanding our identity in Christ, how we're seated with him, you know, how that's first in order of importance. And, you know, it's all almost like the biggest bit of this book. You know, so we don't start with do or don't. We start with done. Because of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross, you can be and then become. I hope that is that making sense to you this morning? If it is, just give us a thumbs up in the chat and go, yes, I'm tracking with you this morning, Andrew, and I'm feeling blessed already. Now, that's a big theme, which will have big implications for us, what we'll start to get into in the next few weeks. It's like we're not waiting on work to be done. We're coming from a finished work. That's a huge, that frames really differently how we see the Lord and even how we approach the Lord. It's not like Jesus is going to heal us. He has healed us. It's seeing our life through this lens of completion that is so important. We're called to walk out our lives in the light of Jesus's work being finished. So in one sense, you know, if there's areas of our lives that we're struggling with, we've got to go back to the Word, go back to the work of Jesus, and go, what does the finished work say about that situation? How is my situation, my thinking, my family changed whenever I put the cross and the finished work before that situation? What does Jesus say about it? And that's where our root. Now, let me say today, let me get stuck into today. Today I'm going to be looking at the last piece of this bit in Ephesians of sitting. And it's an absolute belter. And they're some of my most favorite verses in the whole Bible. In fact, when I was starting to get preparing for this, you know, a number of weeks ago, and I was finishing it off this week, I was thinking to myself, how do I even start? I should probably just do a series on these verses that we're going to read, and I'm going to read them with you this morning because they are phenomenally powerful. In fact, when you come into our church, on the wall in our entrance hall, these words are actually up there, and I've probably said them hundreds of times, if not thousands of times, in the sermons that I've preached over the last decade. And so the actual language that we're going to see here in Ephesians 3, we're going to go from 14 through 21, is the actual language that Paul uses is a prayer. Now, that's how this is written. We don't see that in English, but in the original language, it was written as a prayer. Now, this is powerful. Remember, Paul's under house arrest when he was writing this, and he was physically unable to be with the people that he was writing to. So what we see in these verses is first his heart for them. And as he's writing, we can therefore see, as he is writing on behalf of the Lord, this is the Lord's heart for you and me today. We see his desire for them and what he wants more than anything else for them. So what I want you to think this morning is, this is not just Paul writing to a church. This is Jesus writing to you. This is what Jesus is saying to you this morning. I want you to think about your life today. I want you to think about the people that you know today. I want you to think about your family. I want you to think about your loved ones, whoever is important to you. And what you're going to see today is, this is how Jesus says we can see them walk into everything that the finished work has provided for us. Does that make sense? Because this is Paul's prayer. This is Paul's prayer for the church. Therefore, we can read into that. That is Jesus's prayer for us. Now, I, like you, probably many of us have spent years praying for people, longing to see a breakthrough in their lives. It might even be this morning, you know, that you're in that position. Is there, you know, Lord, there's something going on here that I really need you supernaturally to touch, and I need you to supernaturally move. Is there something here going on, you know, for you this morning? Is there something here that we can read that's really going to help you? I think there is. Also, this prayer speaks about what the Lord has for you, right? We can receive this word as what the Lord wants for us. I've already said that. Now, before we get there, in verse 6, I'm going to go from 14 through, but in verse 6, he makes a point that I just want to speak into very quickly. And he's talking about, in verse 4, he's talking about the mystery of the gospel. And he says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see, in his day when he was writing, the promise of being part of the family of God was only ever a promise for the Jews. It wasn't for everyone. There was this dividing line that meant you were either in or you were out. So people like you and me, okay, we're Gentiles, okay, according to the way this is written. And it meant that you and me could never access the promise, the salvation, the protection, the hope, the healing, the provision, the peace, and everything else that was promised by God himself. You and I were on the outside. Now, we hear a verse like that, you know, like verse 6, and it just seems a wee bit kind of random, and the magnitude of it actually can go right over our heads. But what it means for you this morning as you're listening for me is you are not excluded. You are not on the outside. You are not too far away from the grace of God this morning. You are not too far gone. There is nothing in your history, there is nothing in your present and nothing in your future, the Lord says, that will ever, once you've come to Christ, will ever exclude you. And that's the mystery that Paul's writing about. It was a mystery to the Jews because they had always just thought that it was the religious people, it was the good people, it was the chosen people, it was the ones who, you know, had been given special dispensation. And Jesus says, listen, let me tell you something. That's done. Whoever comes to Jesus is never turned away and will never be turned away. Forever you are chosen. And I said that, didn't I, in week 2, but I need to say it again today. Because there's a constant battle for your heart and your mind and my heart and my mind. The constant condemnation that kind of we can eat away at our peace and our security. Sometimes it almost feels like it doesn't relent ever. We often judge ourselves in a way that the Lord will never do, now or ever. Because that's where we need to be transformed. Often it can feel like, you know, because of what we know about ourselves and maybe other people don't know, it's like we don't really belong because we're not as good as, but you do. If you have received Jesus this morning in your life, then you are what Paul calls a fellow heir. That means that you get to inherit every single promise of his grace. And listen to me, nobody and no thing will ever rob you of that. Never. That's the promise of Jesus to you. That's his word of grace to you. You are no longer an outsider. You are no longer second best. You are no longer compared negatively to others, right? As Jesus is right now, 1 John says, so are you, all right? That's just me getting warmed up. Are we feeling encouraged? I hope that you are. So I'm going to go quick here because I want to get to the meat of today, this prayer of Paul. All right, if I could just say these verses every time that I speak, then I would. It's actually a key to growing and walking out more of his grace. So if you're sitting there this morning listening to me and you're going, right, I want more of this in my life. Lord, see your promise. I need more of it. See your hope. I need more of it. Your healing. I need more of it. Then listen to me. Because these verses are, I believe, a key to hope. They are a key to provision. It's a key to seeing many good days in your life. It's one of the most powerful and one of the most profound prayers of grace found in the Word of God. So let's read together Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Whoa, I love it. Now, listen to me. Get a pen, even a piece of paper. Don't be flicking through your timeline or whatever. Really listen to me, because this, if you can capture the heart of Jesus for you this morning, you're going to be changed as you listen to me. In fact, I believe right now, as you're listening to me, the Spirit of the Lord will minister these truths deep into your spirit. It will put good seed in you today, because I want to look at some of the words and the imagery here, and I want to go to the original. So you're going to have to bear with me, because when we go to the original, there is so much richness. Now remember, this is for your loved ones, but it's also for you. This prayer, this heart of Jesus that Paul is praying for the church, okay, we read it today as the Lord's heart for us. But and it's almost like going right to the very root of our condition. So whatever the manifestation is of brokenness in your life today, this goes to the very root of what you need. And in receiving that word, keeping your eyes on Jesus, receiving that truth, and that will build faith in you. And as that faith builds in you, you'll see things around you change. In fact, even as I go through this morning, I am believing that. I'm believing that there's prophetic power into your situation right now. The first thing that he prays is that we would be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Strengthened with power. Now, the word strengthened here is kratayaho, right? I'm probably saying that wrong, but you know what? Unless you're a Greek scholar, you're probably going, there's probably going to be someone going, what are you talking about? That's not how you say it. But it's kratayaho. And listen to this. He prays that you'll be strengthened. Do you know what that means? It means to prevail, to gain mastery, have the upper hand by God's dominating strength in you. So he says, listen, I pray that in life you would have the upper hand because of God's power in you. And then he doubles up here. The word power here, as many of you will know, is dunamis. And this is power through God's ability. So what he's praying here for your situation is that you're going to have mastery and overcome and have the upper hand and power to walk it out through the ability of God himself in you. That's the promise of the Lord. It's not your ability, it's his ability in you. If you're feeling like you're not strong enough today, just say, thank goodness, it's his ability in me. Not my ability to work it out, but his promise of his strength in me. There's this double use of the word around God's ability. And it's the Holy Spirit he's talking about. And he prays this in your innermost place. And I pray this morning that this is not a fleeting power that comes on you when your back's against the wall and you need delivered. It's not a whimsical coming and going, but it's this kind of strength in your core from the deepest, innermost place. And it's God's power right at the center of you. His ability in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that right now holds the sun and the stars in their place, right in the very center of you would be your strength. You know, when it's Jesus' ability in us, that makes us strong, that makes us healthy, that makes us peaceful, that makes us so secure, that anchors us in hope in the middle of everything that's going on in life and everything that we're going through right from the inside. You know, there's something about being grounded and rooted, which I'm going to come into and in a minute. But first of all, it's like double ability, but God's ability in you, God's power in you. So you would be strengthened, built up, made new by the indwelling power of Jesus himself through his spirit. And then he says so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What he's saying is that the Holy Spirit is God, you know, God himself, okay, is in you because of faith or trust. And you have that gift of God himself in you today because of simple trust and not because of your performance. Or because of anything else, in fact, not because of where you've come from, your education, who you know, or your network. Okay, Christ in you is the gift of God. It is a freely given gift, and you simply have to have the trust that when Jesus said he would fill you and strengthen you, that he will do it. Jesus in you is by faith and nothing else. And then he comes to this wonderful, you know, because some of us go, I mean, it's just such a, it's a, isn't it a thing that goes round and round our heads? You know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Okay, Lord, you've done that, but now what do I need to do? And all you have to do is trust. Okay? It's through faith that we are saved. Through faith, by trusting. And then he comes to such a wonderful statement of grace. Okay? He says that you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Now, there's three words here that I'm going to unpack for you today, and that they need to touch our minds and our hearts today. Now, so what he's praying is, you're going to have the power of God in you to walk out in life, this ability of God. Where from? Well, it comes from being rooted and grounded in love. The word rooted here is rhino, and it means to plant, fix firmly, or establish. It pictures you this morning as like a great tree whose roots have penetrated deep into the rich soil of God's love. Now, when you're rooted in something, it means that you're drawing nourishment from it. Your life, your food, your water, that which sustains you and causes you to flourish. Now, that's what it means to be rooted. And that's why rooted means go down deep. I'm going to come to this in a minute. Now, when we add the second verb in, grounded, it's themilio. Okay, and he says, be grounded in love. Now, it seems like he's kind of mixing his metaphors here, Paul, but he's not. He's using a word from architecture this time. And so it's like the tree goes down deep into the rich soil of God's love. But this word familio is an architectural term. And it means that you're like a building that has its pilings driven deep down into the bedrock below. It means to lay a foundation. And I've been learning about that because we're getting work done in our house and we've got massive foundations have been built out the back. And I'm fascinated by it. Actually going, as I watch the builders dig and pour this cement stuff in and going, they're going to build this big thing on top of that. Holy smokes. And without that, the whole thing's going to fall over. And it was amazing how much time they spent, actually, when I looked at it, actually doing the foundations. You know, and it's like, because we're in a rush to get our new bit of our house built. And, you know, but they took ages to get it right, the foundations. And they had to move things and get a new engineer in to check something. And I was like, just build it. I just want to see the big fancy bit. You know, get the walls up and the other bits up. And like our builder, John, just kept saying, no, look, we need this right. And he went really down deep, like really deep, to make sure it was really solid. And so this morning, I was really taken by that as a picture. And so we're standing on a rock this morning. And can I just say, you're fixed to an unbreakable love. So when you combine rooted and grounded, actually what Paul's doing is he's conveying this picture of endurance, of nourishment, of strength for all of the storms of life. And this kind of ability, God's ability in you to help you to solidly persevere with whatever is going on. We're not fixed on like these shifting sands of lesser foundations. We rest this morning on a steady love that surrounds us. It makes us durable. This love is consistent. Our roots draw up the love of God, right? That he has for us at all times of every day for all of our lives. We've been planted in that place by the Spirit this morning. We've been established here by that master builder. And because of this, we are stronger. And let me tell you something, whatever you may be feeling, faith is not feeling. Faith is trust. Your feelings will come and go. And whatever storms may beat upon your life and how you feel upon those, you can trust this morning in the middle of it that actually you can believe even though your emotions might say something different. And you're stronger. Actually, in faith this morning, you're stronger than any of the storms that are beating upon your life. Because God loves us like that. You know, we're not consumers, we're givers. We're not fearful, we're courageous. All right? This is how God's love changes us. Now, let me tell you, what are you grounding into and what are you going deeper into? It says his love. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded, going deep, deep, deep into agape. It's the most important word of all this morning. And see, do you hear? Are you tracking with me? This is what Paul's saying. This is my prayer for you. No matter what's going on, what do you do? Go deeper into love. Go deeper into love. The word love. What exactly is this that we're being rooted and grounded in? The word that he uses here is agape. It's the New Testament word for God's love for us. And by extension, then, what our love for one another should look like. But primarily, this is God's kind of love. It's translated in most of our Bibles by the common English word, just love. But frankly, it doesn't cut it. Agape is the love word for absolute, unself-centered, brutal sacrifice. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world, okay, that he gave his one and only son, that anyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. So what's agape? Well, agape is, it always involves giving away your life in some form. Agape is decision love. That is, it's a love that is fixed, and it's not a fleeting emotion in the passion of the moment, but it's actually a love of the will. It's a love of choice, and it's fixed. This is a love that rises, listen to me, from the choice of the lover alone. That, you know, I think this is really important that we understand this. The choice that God makes over your life today is because every day he chooses to love you, and that is fixed. Okay, and that's his choice. When agape is based on the one who does the loving and not the one who is loved, you know, we don't really get that, because our love goes up and down like a fiddler's elbow at times, doesn't it? Normally based on, you know, how much the other person is responding. Like, it's kind of funny, Penny's here this morning. We were moving house this weekend into a renter because of the work getting done in their house. And let's be honest, like, Penny is phenomenally good at stuff, but she's very bossy at times, and she has had lists upon lists for weeks of things for me to do. And we were watching this show called Modern Family. I don't know if you've watched it, but you need to watch it. It's flipping brilliant. And Claire, the mum in that one of those episodes, just said she was given off to her family, and she went, "If you'd only just do as I told you, okay, because I kind of know." And I kind of looked at Penny. She looked at me, and straight out of her mouth, she went, "That's true, you know, that is true." And, you know, it's like, and I found myself going, "I think I love you a wee bit less in these moments, okay?" Because, and we tried to talk about it, but Penny went, "Actually, you know what's right. Just do as you're told, and it'll all go so much easier." Okay, but, and so I find myself going, seriously? But that's not, and my love kind of being pushed on a little bit, but that's not what we're talking about, right? Because actually, agape love is all about the one where it starts. This kind of cause that brings agape forward is never found actually just in the object of the love. It's always found in the one who gives the love. So to be loved by God, right, is an, you know, in this way, it's just his extravagant act of mercy towards us when we were sinners and beggars and rebels and all the rest of it. It's a pure gift. That's what I'm trying to say. It's given to us when we're undeserving and when we're unlovable. We don't provoke it. We don't trick it, we don't convince it, we don't earn it or do anything like that to get agape love from God. 1 John 3:1 says, "Look at how great a love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children." What a love. Look at how great a love, agape, he's given us. So you can see this isn't the sentimental mush or physical buzz that we kind of often associate with love. It goes far beyond the trite expressions of love that we use when we speak of, like, "I love where I live," or, you know, "I love that new burger at KFC," or whatever. You know, we kind of use the love all the time in trite ways. It's a love that finds its ultimate definition in the cross of Christ, where the innocent Son of God takes the place of the guilty. That's, you know, I think, you know, for me, what that means is that God, because he loved us, presented Jesus, whose death received by faith in us today absorbs all of God's wrath from us and for you, so that we can be absolutely acceptable to God today. And it was all a gift. It was a gratuitously and free act of mercy for we the lost. All right? That's what it says in 1 John 4:10. I believe love consists in this, writes John, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, or the mercy seat, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So when Paul says we're to be rooted like a great oak in love and grounded like a well-founded building on love, I pray that that truth will really strike you this morning. It's perhaps the most basic spiritual fact about our life as believers this morning. We are loved by God. It's his love towards us, not we do and he loves. And Paul's saying this morning, the best thing that you can do, no matter what is going on around you, is go deeper into that. This is the air that you breathe. It's the food that you eat. It's the water that you drink. It's the ground beneath your feet. And I'm kind of tempted to go, the wind beneath your wings. I'm not going to sing it, but that would be a moment, wouldn't it? Anyway, what are that? They're wings. All right. He wants you to grasp that his love for you is the starting place of your life. 1 John 4:19 tells us the straight of it right away. He says, we only actually love God because he first loved us. He also, I think, wants you to know this morning that nothing is ever going to cause you to be outside of this love. Like, how can you be outside of his love if his love only ever starts with him? It's impossible, right? We think that we go in and out of love, but when we understand God's love, it's impossible, if you're in Christ, actually, to be ever outside of his love, because it never started with us. It always starts with him. That's why Paul writes in Romans 8, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution, famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We're like counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present nor things to come, powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that brilliant? That's the most important fact that can be said about you. It's a fact that changes everything. Your identity, your inner being, is always at this flood tide with a rush of God's love for you. It surrounds you. It saturates you all of the time. There's nothing you can ever do to earn it. There's nothing you can ever do to stop it. So let's just this morning say, Lord, in this place, okay, your prayer for me is not that this will be fixed or that will be fixed. He knows all of that. He knows what you need. He knows when you need it, and he's already provided it. But his prayer for you right now is go deeper into my love for you. Because in that place, we see his heart of commitment, which is unceasing and unending, the depth of his love for us. I'm going to come to that. So I hope people are being encouraged this morning, are they? I can't see, so... I mean, I'm having a whale of a time, you know, here, so preaching to you, but I do pray you're being encouraged, okay? Because this comes against the root of condemnation in our lives. He goes on to say that you might have strength to comprehend, right? And this is the word, it's catalambano, actually. And it means, what does it mean? It means to take hold of exactly with decisive initiative. It actually means as well to make it your own. Remember him, who was the guy on, you know, make it your own? Him, you know, the guy who used to be Do Westlife. I can't remember. Somebody help me out here. Louis Walsh. Thank you very much. Okay, you made it your own. And you know, that's quite... He was on whatever the show was called. X Factor. That was a year ago. And he used to, when people come on and sing a song and they were really good, you made it your own. Well, that's exactly... He didn't actually sound like that. But, you know, everyone's laughing here behind me. But that's the point. And the Greek word here is like, you know, it's translated as comprehend or understand. But it implies more than a mental understanding. It literally means to take hold of something and make it your own. All right? All right? That's what he's talking about. And then he goes, so I want you to make this your own. What's he talking about? The breadth and length and height and depth. Let me explain this one to you here. Paul is using what we call dimensional language to describe the love of Jesus. And actually, this is a really cool point. It suggests a cube, right? For those of you who don't know, a cube, like a Rubik's cube, like length and breadth and depth and height. And that's what it's comprised of. Now, interestingly, in the Bible, a cube can be seen as a symbol of perfection, of stability, and of performance, permanence, right? So in Revelation 21, verse 10, from 10 through to 17, John describes the New Jerusalem as being the shape of a perfect cube. So it may be that this description of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of divine love was meant to convey the permanence and the perfection of God's love for you and me. Now, there's loads of stuff in each of those words. I don't have time for it, but just to give you an idea, bathos is for depth, means immensity. So that you would know, if we just take one view of this, the immensity of God's love. And I think whatever way we look at this, that kind of representation of the New Jerusalem, the perfect cube and all that stuff, I think that what it means is that no matter what way you look at it, When you look at Jesus' work for you this morning, no matter what way you look at it, you will only ever have scratched the surface of God's love for you. Isn't that amazing? No matter what you have seen so far, whenever you look at Jesus and you go down deeper into this love, you're only ever at the surface. Now, if you look a different way, there's more to see, and it's immense. I'm trying to encourage you today that whatever you've had so far in your life, you're only at the start of going from grace to grace. There is so much more for you this morning. Don't believe the lie that you've had your fill or you never will see it. In Jesus, you see an immensity of his love for you. You will never exhaust it. It will never be old. It will never run out. Once you think you've experienced his favor and his goodness, and you wonder, is there any more? Then Paul says, you're just at the beginning. Can I just say something here this morning, all right? I'm going to say it, right? I don't think that any one of you who is listening here today should be one bit embarrassed about being absolutely 100% fully committed to letting people know that it is grace and grace alone. You know, many people at times say, oh, well, just be careful with this grace stuff because what you need is, right? Let's balance out grace. Can I just say to you this morning, one thing that I don't need in my life is more of me. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I absolutely don't need more of me. I need more of him. I don't need more of my own thinking. I don't need any more of my own understanding. I don't need any more of my own strength. Because God knows when it comes to that, it's normally a complete mess. All right? If it's not a complete mess, it's certainly more difficult than what it needs to be. And so when people come along to you and say, oh, just be careful of that grace stuff, let me say to you, what grace means is I am falling wholesale, putting my life and my future and my family and everything else fully squarely onto the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, the perfect love that Jesus has for me. And so I don't need less of that. I need more of it. Unashamedly, there is nothing in me that I can bring to the Lord or to the people around me, but Christ's ability in me, I can bring that. I can open myself up simply through faith to receive it. So if you've been sitting here this morning or people say to you, just watch, just see grace, all about balance. Because you receive a bit of grace and then you have to do. Paul's going complete nonsense. It is Christ's ability that you would be strengthened through the dunamis, the power of God in you. Not Jesus plus you or you plus a bit of Jesus or try your best with Jesus and then he'll help you at the last bit. 100% grace alone. And now, that's not just that we go, oh, fantastic. We then walk it out. And Paul's going to help us next week to show, right, if that's what's happened to us, how does it change the thing around us? But you know what? I don't know about you. I just don't need any more of me. Penny's nodding here in the side going, hey, man, just do as you're told. That'll be brilliant. All right? And let me go real quick. Are we doing okay to have 5 minutes? Can I take 5 minutes just to finish this up? Okay, let me just finish this. And he says that... Lastly, that you want to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So let me just finish this morning. Let me finish this prayer with explaining this bit. How can you know something that goes past knowing? Seems like, again, Paul's just lost the plot here. Doesn't seem to make sense. But this is where we see the Lord's heart for you. Not just to hear this message, but to make it, as we say today, your lived experience. How can your experience be anything other than lived is my question, but it's something that we say today, right? So he says that you may know, the word here is ginosko, and properly it means to know through personal firsthand experience. So make no bones about it, okay? If you need healing this morning, the Lord says, I don't want you just to know up here. Remember, this is the Lord's prayer, the Lord praying for the church, using Paul to pen it, going, my heart for you as you go down into love is not a cerebral understanding which stops there, but I want you to live in it. You know, it's a bit like me with my kids. I don't want them, I could sit and talk to them all day, but you know, I'm a great provider. I'm a really good dad and I'm a great provider. If they're sitting there starving or they don't have clothes in their back, you know what I mean? They'd probably be looking at me going, I dead on. What do I want? I want to see them, you know, with full bellies, looking healthy, you know, dressed well and enjoying it. That brings me pleasure. And so I want them not to just know that dad was a provider. I want them to live in the fruit of it, in the good of it, to enjoy it and experience it with me. All right? So Ginosko, he says, his prayer is not that you would know first, okay, in the sense of, yeah, tick the box. His prayer is, I want you to live this. Okay? That's a real kicker for people who go, does God want you well? Does God want you healthy? Yes, because he promises me here that it's not just about ticking the box. I can do it. No, I want you to experience it. He says, which surpasses. This is hyperbalo in Greek, which means transcend, exceed, go beyond, surpass. And so he said, I want this experience of my grace to go way beyond and to exceed gnosis, which is another word for doctrine. Okay? So this is not about doctrine, grace doctrine. This is about grace experience, about love experience. Not love up here, but loved in here and walking it out in love. He says that you may be filled. This is my last point. That the word filled here is pleroo. So again, this is the heart of Jesus for you this morning. He pleroo means to fill you with it, like capacity, all right? To absolutely go like flowing over. It's to fill to individual capacity, to be complete, right? With all the fullness, the pleroma, the sum total superabundance of God. That's what that means. That you may be filled right up to the brim, overflowing to your capacity with the superabundance of God. Isn't that awesome? That's his prayer for you. Do not ever doubt what the Lord's desire is for you this morning. This is not just about hearing about healing, but this is about being filled and walking out in health. This is not just about hearing that you could have hope, but this is about waking up every morning knowing that this day is going to be your best day, that your best days are in front of you. You may have challenges. We may have ups and downs. There may be things that press in against us. And God knows I've had enough of that over the last few weeks myself. But it's still saying, Lord, in that place, I believe this morning, when I look and go deeper into your love, going deeper into that place, everything that I need will just spring up in my life. There'll be peace. There'll be security and provision and purpose. You name it. Paul is saying that because of grace, Jesus wants you to be completely immersed, filled to capacity with his superabundance this morning. That's why he says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more than we can far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power that's working within us, to him be the glory. I love it. So he finishes up by going, I started with grace and I finish with grace. This work in your life, okay, not to your glory, but to his. It all points to him. The work of grace in your life brings glory to Jesus. When people look at us and they see us fit and healthy and prosperous and doing well, it's not how clever are we, which is what the world does, but it's how amazing is he. The power that works within us to bring about this good fruit in our lives, to him be the glory. Amen. I love grace. Let me finish. This is my last one. Because grace brings glory back to Jesus. It was his work. It started with him. It is him. It forever will be him. And so as we celebrate this work of grace in our life, it's not to make us insular or anything like that, or make us self-important or self or proud of ourselves, but it's to bring glory to the one who did it all. Amen. I hope that you're encouraged. We're just going to, let me pray for you this morning. Lord, I pray that that word would have gone down deep. Lord, whatever is going on this morning, I pray, Father, that people would go deep into your love. That they would draw strength from that place of knowing that they are loved because you love them first. Lord, that their minds would be expanded to see the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. That you would fill them with your superabundance this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.